Welcome to Hot Grease. I'm your host, Nicole Taylor. This Heritage Radio Network program is brought to you by Acme Smoked Fish. Acme Smoked Fish is North America's leading producer of smoked seafood, sourcing only the highest quality materials from around the globe. Acme has been a sustainable steward of the seafood industry for over 55 years. From traditional smoked salmon to fine delicatessens like smoked sable and trout, Acme is the authority on smoked fish. For more information on Acme, Blue Hill Bay, or Ruby Bay brands, visit acmesmokedfish.com. Every week on Hot Grease, we bring people back to what's great in food. Culinary traditions, cooking at home, knowing your farmer, or even growing your own food. I spotlight good food fighters and the culture of the good food movement, from chefs to tastemakers to moms on a budget. Today, we'll be talking kids and holiday food traditions. Advocates for school food received an early Kwanzaa or Christmas gift today. The Healthy Hunger Free Kids Act, also known as CNR, or Childhood Nutrition Reauthorization Act, was signed into law by President Obama today. In the studio to talk about school food reform is Beatrice Beckford. Beatrice is Brooklyn Food Coalition School Food Reform Coordinator and mother of a two-year-old named Stokely. Welcome to Hot Grease, Beatrice.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
So for folks who are just finding out about CNR, or what we're going to officially call the Healthy Hunger Free Act, what exactly is the Healthy Hunger Free Act?
So basically, CNR funds the school food program, the federal school lunch program. It includes breakfast. It includes programs that specifically are implemented in schools, but also in programs that receive that food subsidy as well. So CNR is a bill that gets reauthorized every 5 years. It's a joint effort between the Department of Agriculture and the Department of Education. And so because of that, it requires a lot of collective bipartisan effort and then a lot of on-the-ground work.
So what made today's law, well, actually signing into today's law, different from the CNR from 5 years ago?
Well, so there were some major successes in the last one. This one in particular provides an increase in the amount of lunch subsidies, upwards of 6 cents. It also provides mandatory funding for farm-to-school programs and other initiatives like water, specifically in schools. A lot of schools don't serve water during the lunch line, and so that provides additional funding for lunch for water jet programs in schools. And so this is a major help for urban areas like New York who need that extra funding because we have such a large school food system.
So does this law solve the problems of school food nationally or in New York City?
It doesn't solve all the problems, but it does provide for some additional resources. I know 6 cents seems like a small amount, and we definitely need a lot more. But it is some improvement. And while we did have the farm to school funding before, it wasn't actually mandated that funding be provided for that program. And so to actually have that funding mandated through this new reauthorization is a major win.
So if people are listening, because I hear farm to school, do you have an example of a farm to school model here in Brooklyn or either New York City where folks are doing something?
So we have programs like the Edible Schoolyard. There is a national farm to school network, and so that's divided up regionally. New York is basically in the same network or region as like Vermont and some of these other states. So while farm to school programs in Vermont obviously have a lot more because New York is an urban area, this would actually allow us to have the funding to implement a lot more of those programs in urban areas like New York.
So some of those programs could include partnering with a farmer in upstate New York and them just bringing apples or maybe two or three additional produce to the school cafeteria, or does that also include schools having gardens at their school and then bringing the food inside?
Well, so farm to school can be coupled with programs like garden to cafe, but the reality is the CNR bill that was signed today, we're really not going to see the effects of that until about 5 years from now. So we still have a tremendous amount of work. The Office of School Food has taken some major steps to improve school food in New York, and that includes some of the things you're talking about, like local sourcing of things like apples and milk, and then continuing as they renew contracts to have incentivized way of communicating, like we're happier when you do more local sourcing of produce and products.
If folks are listening and they're here in New York City, I definitely would suggest that they get involved with the Brooklyn Food Coalition school food reform work. Tell us about some of the work that you're doing with Brooklyn Food Coalition.
So some of the main work that the school food group as part of Brooklyn Food Coalition was working on over the past last year was centered around CNR. And so we are part of an alliance called New Yorkers for CNR. And so that took a lot of our time. We've more recently transitioned to doing what we do best, which is on the ground organizing of people. And so specifically, we're doing parent advocacy trainings in partnership with organizations such as, you know, City Harvest, the Food Bank for New York City, Department of Health, and really looking at neighborhoods that are most impacted by food deserts, food disparities, health disparities, or have higher risk factors for diabetes, childhood obesity, and adult obesity. And so the neighborhoods that we're specifically focusing on based on research has been Brownsville, East New York, Bed-Stuy, and Bushwick. And so we've come together with the parents and advocates and organizers who are involved in some capacity with the Brooklyn Food Coalition School Food Reform Group, representatives from the Department of Health, representatives from City Harvest, New York Food and Fitness Partnership, and Food Bank for New York City, and come up with these parent advocacy training so that we can provide parents the tools that they need to successfully advocate for healthier, tastier options for their children in school. And so we implemented those in those neighborhoods over the past month. In November, was cram-packed with parent trainings in all of those neighborhoods. And this week, actually, we'll be doing one of our last ones in Bushwick.
Bushwick in the house.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So folks would be surprised, at least in my work with Brooklyn Food Coalition and listening in to the school food statistics here in New York City, there are some very interesting facts about New York City's Office of School Food. Aren't they like the number two buyer of food in the country?
Yeah, so I think people don't realize the scope or what the school food in New York looks like. And so part of the training, we do try and create this real perception for parents as to what the Office of School Food looks like. And so they're the second largest purchaser of food in the United States, and that's second only to the military. So the military buys the first largest amount of food, and the Office of School Food for the state of New York for New York City is the second largest purchaser. And that happens in a number of ways. They're serving almost 1 million meals a day. They have 9,000 employees and 1,600 cafeterias. So it's a major operation.
Yeah.
And so in a lot of ways, they're leading the country in some of the efforts that they've taken. But because it's such a large organization and a large operation, it really takes parents, teachers, principals, advocates, organizers on the ground, disseminating that information, working with each other to actually have those initiatives that are put forth by the Office of School Food trickle down to the neighborhoods that need the most because they're the most impacted by health risks and disparities.
So what films, books, or online resources would you suggest to parents who want to get like information about the history of school food, or parents who just need a starting point, or even parents who have been involved in school food efforts and want to take it to the next level? Because people don't realize this act, there's a huge piece of this bill that was passed today, or act today, that folks need to probably maybe need to advocate about as well. So where would you tell people to go?
Yeah, I mean, there's a tremendous history just in talking about school food in this country, free of even talking about CNR. There's just a tremendous history, and even what birthed the school food program in this country. And so I definitely, if you know, parents or teachers or principals are interested in getting more information, I would recommend the Brooklyn Food Coalition website. There's always up-to-date information, whether it's on CNR or trainings that we're doing or ways to get involved in other ways. And so another resource is the Office of School Foods website, which is sometimes difficult to find, but, you know, the best way to get to it is by typing in Office of School Food New York in your Google browser and get to it that way. Otherwise, it's very difficult because it redirects a couple of ways. Another great book that was written by Janet Poppendick is a great resource. It's I'm blanking on the title, which is horrible.
Oh, I can't. I'm blanking on it, too. But I feel like I've mentioned that book here before. If you're listening and you want more information about Brooklyn Food Coalition, just put it in our website.
Yeah, Free for All. It's called Free
for
All.
There it is. Ding, ding,
yes,
ding.
Yes, I've redeemed myself.
Free for All, Jane Poppendick. I feel like she's been on
Fixing
one of the...
school food in America, yeah.
I feel like she's been on the main course on one of the shows here on Heritage Radio Network. If not, I need to get her on because she's, you know, pretty a big
yeah,
deal.
Yeah, Jan is fantastic and is a wealth of knowledge when it comes to how, you know, down to the kitchens, how they're operating, and even more on the historical level of school food in this country. And so I learned a tremendous amount from that book personally when it comes to like the historical context of school food.
All right. Well, we're going to take a short break and come back with more kids, food, and the holidays. Welcome back to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. Check out our program schedule and show archives on heritageradionetwork.com. This is show number 3 of our Green Living, Green Giving, and Great Food series. We're providing tips, commentary, and ideas for a fabulous holiday season. So I asked all my people in social media world about foodie gifts for kids, and boy, what a great response. Thanks to all of my followers and listeners for the suggestions. So first, let me welcome my other studio guest, Ms. Jordan A. Colbert, to Hot Grease. Jordan is a New York City / DC based photographer, and I would say you're the ultimate foodie.
And an artist, but hi. Thank
yes,
you.
Photographer.
Thank you for having me.
Welcome to Hot Grease. So we're going to do a list of food gifts. Beatrice and Jordan are going to chime in, right? And tell me if y'all approve or not. So first up, fruits, nuts, and candy. One of my dear actually friends commented on my Facebook post about this. And it actually reminded me of my mother because she says that at Christmas, they only got a shoebox with oranges, nuts, and candy, and a pair of Sunday shoes. So I thought that fruit, nuts, and candy is like a great kid's
That's a great
gift.
Thing to take over to somebody's house, like a housewarming type of holiday
For kids?
Gift.
With kids like that?
But I don't know about kids.
I don't know. I mean, my son loves dried fruits and nuts and stuff like that. I don't know if it'd be an exciting Christmas present.
Yeah. I don't think so.
I feel like parents would probably love it because you could say, yes, one thing to cross well, off the shopping list.
I don't think any of these exactly. things on my list going to be really excited for any kids. They're all food stuff. So.
Oh, I'm excited to see hear your list.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So next on the list, Rubicella's Cupcakes. They've been on the show before. They have two small kids. They make cupcakes here in Brooklyn, and they suggested a chef's coat. Oh, and I know she has a 2-year-old, so she actually said that she bought both of their kids chef coats. And someone else mentioned the same thing, and they said engrave their name on it.
That's a cute idea.
That is a cute idea, because kids love dress up.
With your son?
My son loves dress up. The preschool that he goes to, shout out to Little Maroons, is always doing dress up stuff. So she's got chef stuff, firefighters, all that stuff. And I think
I loved getting in the kitchen when I was little, so I think that's a good gift.
And someone said aprons. That's kind of the same thing. I don't think little boys wear aprons, do they?
No, but I think you can make it fun. So if you wanted to do like a box of cookies that you wrapped up and stuff to give as a gift and have the kids wear their apron or something, I don't know. I think you could make it fun.
Okay, so y'all got excited about that because y'all were like, I don't know about that fruit, nuts, and candy. Next on the list, Nachos New York. They actually do like nacho tours here in New York City. They have hand-sewn avocados and tortilla chip ornaments. So they emailed me and said that would be a great gift. And you have to check them out. It's on nachosny.com. And it's the shape of avocado. And I like the Christmas tree ornament thing. I used to give out ornaments for people at Christmas time. And then this year I was thinking, oh, I should have done like a food tree.
Theme tree.
I don't have any kids, but what would your son say if he saw that?
So we put up our tree last weekend, I want to say, and that was pretty, he's always really excited about it, the lights and the ornaments. He's more excited about taking the ornaments off. So I don't know, but he's two. I feel like older kids might get excited. Ornaments, I don't know if that'd be.
Yeah, I won't know. I don't. What? I know I got a lot of ornaments for gifts.
Did you get excited growing up with
that? Excited, but
if it was something you made.
Yeah, if it was something you made.
Okay, maybe that's a good gift for your kids to give to someone else or to make.
Yeah, like if it came as something that you had to put together and that's like your you made that ornament for the tree for next year or something. Mm-hmm. Okay. But if it's already made and you're just your putting job is putting it up, then it's not really that.
Okay. So next up, I'm going to bundle this one. And this is toys. Someone said IKEA's toy pots and pans. And they noted that all of their and food, they have, you know, the toy ones for kids and they're all lead free. And then Melissa and Doug, I've never heard of Melissa and Doug food sets. They're supposed to be wooden.
Yeah, yeah. It's a
I
big,
think that's a good gift.
Big company.
What, Melissa and Doug?
Yeah, yeah.
So you can tell we don't have kids. We're like, I'm like, what the hell is Melissa and Doug?
Yeah, no, Melissa and Doug, anything kids. It's usually wooden stuff, but it's a great.
So I used to play house when I was little, so I think that's a good.
What, the wooden, the which
yeah,
one?
Yeah, kitchen and cooking stuff. I don't know, either one.
Yeah, okay. Pots and, I'd say yes to pots and pans. The good thing about, I think, IKEA also is they actually have like a play kitchen you can buy and it's not very expensive right. either. But I also feel like, you know, like my son has a play kitchen. We have the fake toys that yeah. are food and mm-hmm. stuff. And he has more fun just taking the regular pots and pans out of the cupboard and banging on those. So I feel
wow.
like...
And actually, the Melissa and Doug food set came from paninihappy.com. So there's a woman who has a blog all about panini making. She has like tons of panini ideas. So that's like a quick thing
sounds
if you
yummy.
Have a kid. Yeah. My last two, last three things are the ice cream maker, ice shaver. I think that's perfect for like a teenager.
That's fun.
I feel like that could be exciting for a little kid,
little
too.
Kid too.
I
yeah.
know when you busted out the popcorn maker.
Yeah, your
the
son
other day,
got excited.
He was like, stir
we used
crazy
to make ice cream
that.
When I was little. My dad used to make it. It was fun.
I don't
see the process. And,
yeah. Okay. I wouldn't think that would be a great gift for somebody. But okay.
Everybody loves ice cream. Little kids love ice cream. So to kind of see the process of how it works and comes together, I think they
and
really
then
enjoy
to eat
that
it afterwards.
Eat it. Exactly. Yeah. That's the reward of all.
Okay.
Work.
So if we're gonna get the ice cream making class, we just need to get the kids cooking class. And I actually met this woman, and then I did a Google search, and she popped up. DoReMeKids.com. It's a Brooklyn-based kids cooking class. So I'm like, okay, you get an ice cream maker, send them to a cooking class on how to make ice cream or something, right?
Yeah.
So that's another
I feel thing. Like the ice cream maker you could probably do at home, and even if you end up doing most of it, like, you can make it like you did it together. Mm-hmm. The cooking class probably definitely for older kids, I'd say.
Yeah, definitely. I think 10 plus, 8 plus.
Yeah, like tweens, that kind of age.
On.
Those
yeah.
tweens.
And then lastly, books. We have the Silver Spoon for Children. That was Adriana Valles, who's been on the show quite a few times. Betty Crocker Jr. Cookbook. And Omnivore's Dilemmas Young Readers Edition. I don't know the ages for that Omnivore's Dilemmas Young Readers Edition.
Yeah, I have no idea.
And I also say this is not on my list. They had the Cat in the Hat. Dr. Seuss cookbook, too. I thought that was cute for maybe like a younger person. Yeah.
I don't know about the cookbook so much.
Yeah, I feel like if it was an older kid that was really into cooking, then yes. You know, sometimes you have... You know,
after maybe 8 or 10, like you guys were saying earlier, but not.
Oh, really? Younger. Wow. So, God, I'm glad I didn't buy some of those kids in my family some cookbook. They would have been like, she go again talking about food stuff.
I feel like that's something you buy, like those kid cookbooks you buy for yourself as a parent, and you make like fun recipes that your kids would like, but not something that you buy them.
Right.
Gotcha. Cool. All right. So we are going to take a short break. You guys, all the things on the list will be posted on the website. So keep listening to Hot Grease. Welcome back to Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Nicole Taylor. Hot Grease is produced and engineered by Jack Inslee, and this program is being sponsored by Acme Smoked Meats. Let me give a Southern Girl's hug to Roberta's Restaurant, located at 261 Moore Street in Brooklyn, New York. I'm sitting here now watching them string Christmas lights in the new patio, heated patio area. And Roberta's is the location of two sustainable shipping containers known as Heritage Radio Network. My studio guests today are Beatrice Beckford, mother of a handsome two-year-old, Mr. Stokely, and Jordan Colbert, a New York, D.C.-based artist, photographer, and gourmet foodie, whatever. You know, it's like a million names for us. We're chatting kids,
that's a nice
food,
name. I like that.
And holiday traditions. Jordan, so we've been talking about school food. What do you remember about school lunches?
Well, I definitely ate school lunches, unless I packed my own lunch.
Did you like school food, school lunches?
Not really, but it depended on where I lived. I moved around a little bit. And definitely, I lived in Champaign, Illinois. I lived there since I was in fifth grade, and I hated the school lunch. They used to give you pizza in a bag, milk in a bag, and it was just
yummy.
Not appealing at all.
Mm-mm. Yeah, I used to trade my entire lunch for French fries, like from middle school on, and in high school, I don't even think I ate. I mean, it's kind of sad. I used to skip school and actually go get food because we couldn't go off campus. What about you?
I have some interesting, it's funny that I work in school food now because I have very interesting memories of having school lunch or not having school lunch. And so I usually ended up bringing like leftovers
from
dinner.
That
like
sounds
rice
good.
And beans or something and an orange. But it was a pain because it was always cold. And I did that in part because we kind of fluctuated back and forth between like free and reduced lunch. But the way they did it when I was a kid was when you got to the register, they had to like look for your name on a list and like check you off. And because they were all like these old, no offense to lunch ladies now, you all may be young, but they were like old retirees. And so it was embarrassing to have to like sit there at the end of the line while they search for your name. And my last name begins with B, so it was always at the top. But they'd always be flipping through pages and stuff. So I'd be like, forget that.
I can't remember. I think we had a lunch pass. So which is crazy now. I feel like, because I got reduced lunch growing up, so I feel like you had like a color coded pass and you show it to them.
I wish we had that. They just would check your name off. Yeah, that's part of the problem now. It's such a stigma for kids to like that want the food. Like I wanted the lunch. I love sloppy joes. I love the pizza and the fries and stuff. But I was just like, I don't want to deal with all that. So especially by the time I got to high school, I'd be like, let me toss a couple oranges in my bag.
When I was in high school, I had an open lunch, so I could go wherever.
Yeah, I just skipped school every day and had food. So do you guys remember Christmas parties and Christmas plays in school? Do people even have them now?
I don't know, but we did when I was growing up.
Do you remember having food there?
Yeah, we couldn't wait for that day.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like we always had Christmas parties. I don't know if during the plays we did. I always, whenever I think of like plays in my school, I have vivid memories.
You have your holiday concert. We always had a holiday concert.
You don't remember the food?
I remember the food in the classes where we always got like our little bags with the candy canes, you know.
Or cupcakes.
Yeah,
or
like the parties.
Are they doing that now, soda. Beatrice?
I feel like they do that, you know. They might have kids bring cupcakes or do like a pizza party for the kids. So I feel like people do try in schools to be like festive and have events for the children.
So Beatrice, what do you remember about food at the holidays as a kid?
Just like at home?
Or, yeah.
I just remember lots of it. Lots of it. Lots of food to go around and just, you know, people coming together. So whenever I think holidays, I always think lots of food. Like, it's not a holiday for me if there's not a ton of food around. And then I always think, because, you know, I'm of Puerto Rican heritage, so I always think of coquito and all that good, yummy stuff that, you know, you only get during the holidays. And so, yeah.
What about you, Jordan?
Definitely lots of food, like Beatrice said. We had our little special family recipes that my mom used to make, so I couldn't wait for those things. They're usually sweeter things. Macaroni and cheese. I, like, love macaroni and cheese.
Yeah.
And green bean casserole, which I'm kind of over it now a little bit, but I couldn't wait to have that when I was little. And ham, I guess.
So I'm dining out for Christmas. I didn't tell you that, Jordan, did I?
No. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Where are you dining out?
So I, for people who are listening to the show and they follow me on Twitter and Facebook, I basically cook for 10 people on Thanksgiving. And we had about 12 people there at the house. Wow. And I spent like 10 hours cooking.
Wow.
So I decided I was going to not do that and dine out. What do you think of that?
So you're going to be here.
I think that's, you had, you cooked for 10, you had 12.
Yeah,
I mean. We were supposed to come and go, you know,
that's
that
fine.
Time took over, so we didn't. So you would have been
so
well
Jordan's
over
been to, Jordan's been to my house. We always have parties and stuff. It's a free-for-all. People just come and go. It's an all-day thing. So I can't do that again. I was exhausted.
Yeah, I'd imagine.
Yeah, so
nobody brought anything?
No.
Just all you?
Yeah. So, this is the second time I've done this. The first time here in New York, I went to Carmine's, which is kind of boring. Mm-hmm. But, I'm going out for dinner.
Do you know where you're going?
Yeah, where are you going?
I have a list of places. I have a list of, like, all the places that are going to be open in New York City. I've narrowed it down to a few. I think I'm going to, the final is probably Keffi, which is Greek food. Upper East Side. So do y'all think that's a bad idea? Is that a good tradition to start? Or?
I don't know. It seems kind of like, I feel like there's nothing like having people. And I know it's exhausting.
So there are five people who have responded that they want to go as well that are going to be here in New York City.
Well, that might be.
Yeah, that might make it a little different. It just seems like it's not as
cozy. But it's all
cozy.
About like your favorite things to eat. And are you going to get any of those?
And also being cozy, like in your home or someone else's
home. I do that
home.
All the time. I mean, so whatever. Something what traditions different. Do you have? Do you bake cookies for Stokely or for Santa?
Well, we do pies. I'm all about the pies. So we'll do like cakes and pies. We always do like a holiday cake.
No cookies for Santa? I never
We
got
don't that. Do the cookies. You know, yeah, it's not. Cookies, I feel like.
I love cookies.
I love cookies, too. I just would rather make a cake or a pie.
Yeah, I didn't have those Christmas Day, oh, honey, let's bake cookies and leave them out for Santa. I guess,
we
you know.
Either.
Feels a little foreign.
Yeah.
We definitely didn't do the milk and cookies out. I mean, we would try to, and it'd be like, you can't leave no milk out on the table or cookies out.
I mean, you're just trying to get all the food together so you can finally sit down and eat. And usually in my house, we don't get down to eat till like 6 o'clock or something, and everybody's at the house.
So no one's making cookies for Santa.
Probably not.
Oh, wow. So
Santa could use a day without some extra cookies anyways.
Final question of our today's hot grease. Your food wish for 2011. Jordan, I'll start with you first and then be next.
Well, right now I'm on a diet, unfortunately.
Oh, God.
But
now?
But I'm going to eat on Christmas and New Year's. Believe that. I just, you know, I'm on a diet. But hopefully my wish for 2011 is that I'll be able to start enjoying all the foods that I'm missing out on right now, I guess.
That's a good one.
Yeah. When you say food wish, what do you really mean?
What do you wish in the world of food? What do I mean? Personally, nationally, worldwide, whatever. What are you?
Well, healthier school food would be one.
Yes. Yes.
And then definitely, like, I see a lot of folks of color take an interest in like alternative diets and stuff, mm-hmm. whether it's veganism or vegetarian, and it's various shapes and forms. And so I'd like to see something or some collective push to have more cookbooks and things that come out speak more to cultural foods.
Yeah.
True.
So that's you can write that book and let me know when you're finished.
I'm working on it.
I'm working on it.
Okay. Because
I feel like whenever I pick up, you know, if I'm trying to like learn more recipes, just, you know, for, you know, expanding my palate and stuff, there's just certain things that I crave. You know, like I want a piece of something that tastes like fried chicken, even though I don't eat meat. I want to have the creamy mac and cheese that doesn't have all that the cheese and other stuff in it. Mm-hmm. And so if I could find something, you know, YouTube has been helpful, but if I could find like something, a book that had more culturally relevant dishes, I think that'd be great for
Grease and put some, I mean, not Hot Grease. You need to go on Heritage Radio Network and put some keywords in. You'll come up with some great shows that may have some tips for you. So if folks want to find out more about Brooklyn Food Coalition, we talk about Brooklyn Food Coalition all the time on the show. Where do they need to go? How can they?
So www.brooklynfoodcoalition.ning.com.
Or you can just go brooklynfoodcoalition.org.
Yeah. And I will say, just to kind of add on something for the CNR, like definitely there's stuff on our website around contacting your elected officials and thanking them, because the New York representatives have really kind of like pushed CNR for us. But also part of how it's going to be funded is by taking $2.2 billion from SNAP from SNAP benefits, so essentially food stamps, and we don't want them to do that. We don't want them to be using the food stamp pot as a way of funding stuff, because we can't get healthy kids by taking food and resources from the people that need it most. And so while we want you to go out and thank your representatives, we want you to also, in your letters and correspondence to them, let them know that we're not happy with a $2.2 billion cut in SNAP benefits, and so we need to keep pushing them to find alternative funding sources for that.
Cool. BrooklynFoodCoalition.org. And if you want to scroll down to the about, you can see B under about us, I think, mm-hmm. and find your direct email.
Yep.
And Jordan, I have to give a shout out, because everybody talks about my photos. Like, oh, I love your photos.
Thank you.
Jordan did my photos on, I'm working on my new foodcultures.com page, but you'll see Jordan's work there. But Jordan is a visual artist, photographer here in New York City. What's your website?
It's jordancolbert.com, just like it sounds.
E-E-R-T?
Yeah, like the Colbert Report, but it's pronounced Colbert.
Oh, people yes. people will remember that. Yes.
Yes, and Jordan, like Michael Jordan.
Okay. Yes. Yes, JordanColbert.com. Yes.
Check it out.
Ladies, happy holidays. Happy Kwanzaa. I know some people listen like, what the hell is Kwanzaa? But you know me. You know how I do it. Happy holidays to everyone.
Happy holidays.
Thank you for joining us on Hot Grease.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. You can join me live every Monday, probably in 2011. We'll be back live. But otherwise, go to iTunes and subscribe to the podcast. And remember, as always, always take the road less traveled.